Time now for the Financial Framework Show with Steve Barfield. Stay tuned to find out how you can become totally debt-free and retire with dignity and peace of mind. You can call Steve with your questions about debt or retirement right now at 1-800-732-6458 or call the station at 770-748-1340. Now, here's Steve Barfield.
Hello, my friends. I hope you're all out there having a good afternoon. And as always, if you're out there on the road, make sure you keep your focus where it is supposed to be. If you miss anything on the show today, you can go to the Financial Framework Show website and listen to the recorded broadcast. Your safety is the most important thing. We had some great questions last week, and I'm looking forward to talking to you and discussing different issues about debt, retirement, or money and how it relates to our lives. The call-in number is 1-800-732-6458. Again, the call-in number is 800-732-6458, or you can call the WGAA radio station at 770-748-1340. That's 770-748-1340. And remember, there is no such thing as a dumb question. The only dumb question is the one that you don't ask. My goal for everyone who listens to the Financial Framework Show each week is for you to get out of debt and retire with dignity. I want to welcome any new listeners that have tuned in today and thank the ones who find the time to listen to me each week. I want so much for all of you listening to the Financial Framework Show to be all that you can be. And this is not an advertisement for the Army, but those words do mean a lot. Each week I will talk to you about getting out of debt and retiring debt-free. And I realize, even though you're learning, or at least picking up some ideas from time to time, that it takes a total mind change or attitude adjustment to make it happen. You've heard me say that attitude is everything, and if you think you can, you can. And if you think you can't, you are absolutely right. Where are you right now in your life? Are you where you thought you would be? Have you accomplished all that you set out to accomplish? Well, since I cannot hear your comments or answers to these questions, I'm going to answer them for the majority of you. And the answer is, heavens no, we're not where we thought we would be by this time in our lives. And speaking of this time in our lives, I am now 53 years old. Many people think that is pretty old, especially the younger people that I come in contact with around the country. Well, I've got news for you. The way I look at my age is that it's halftime in the game, and I still have the third and fourth quarters to declare victory. And as far as my family goes, I feel like I'm one of the richest people on earth. I have a wife of almost 38 years that is my best friend. Three grown children that love the Lord, they are productive and self-supportive, and are great parents to my eight beautiful grandchildren. So when I talk about the third and fourth quarters, I'm talking about making a difference in our country before it's time for me to go home. I want to help you. I want to show you how not to make the same mistakes that I have made in my financial life. I want you to be victorious. You listen to me each week for a reason. Either you're bored, or you feel that you can trust me to tell you the truth and tell you like it is. And I can assure you, that is my every intention. You've often heard me say that we're taught how to dissect frogs in high school instead of learning about money and how it works. That we all figure out how to make a dollar, but it don't come with an instruction booklet. The far majority of the American people live from paycheck to paycheck. When Wednesdays hit, we're thanking the Lord the week is half over. We look forward to Fridays, and on Sunday afternoon, our stomachs hurt just thinking about tomorrow being Monday. We wish our lives away. Can any of you listening today relate to this? You work as hard as you can, and if you're like me, you work all the overtime that you can get, and even pick up a second or third job if you can find one. This goes on month after month, year after year, and even decades after decades for most of us, but we never seem to get ahead. And when that dreaded time comes during the month to pay the bills, there never seems to be enough to go around. Often we have to juggle bills around just to pay them the best that we can. There's no money for emergencies, and if we were to miss a single paycheck or two, it would send us to the poorhouse. We're not saving nearly enough for retirement, and we know that if we're having a tough time right now, while we're working, while a paycheck is coming in, that we're most definitely going to have to work until we die, never having a light at the end of our financial tunnels, never having any peace of mind, and never feeling the security that we would feel if we didn't owe anyone any money and if we had money saved. Most of the American population will never realize this peace. And as years pass, so does their hope, realizing that what they had dreamed about when they were younger is probably never going to come true. We are Americans. We are not quitters. We continue to put one foot in front of the other. We do the best that we can, no matter the circumstance. No matter how bleak our financial futures look, we are Americans. It is never too late to make a difference in your life. I don't care if you're 18 or 80. You need to do some soul searching. You need to make up your mind that you're going to be better tomorrow and even better the next day. You need to wake up each morning, and I don't care if it's 25 degrees or 105 degrees. I don't care if it's raining, and I don't care if it's been raining for 2 weeks. Open up your eyes and thank God that you have another day to make a difference. I don't care if you're broke. I don't care if you're rich. I don't care if you're behind on your bills. You need to keep your attitude right. You need to refuse to lose. And I know that it's easy to get into debt. With all the dishonest banks and the slick marketing that's bombarding the airwaves, we are in financial bondage, and the devil is destroying more families with debt than he's using drugs and alcohol. But on the other hand, getting out of debt, it's tough. Think about this. How many people do you currently know who are totally debt-free? Do you know more than a handful? Do you think there's a problem with this? Have you ever wished or made a comment that it sure would have been nice if I would have known about this or that? Have you ever said that? Have you ever said that I would have done things a lot different? That if I'd been taught back then, when I was young, the rules of money, about how to build a budget, how to balance a checkbook, how mortgages work, and how to buy or ride insurance, how much better off would you be right now? I know for certain that you would be miles ahead of where you currently are if you had just been taught. But, as you know, we were not taught. So we have to pick ourselves up by the bootstraps and continue to march forward. We have to change our attitudes. We have got to make up our minds that we're not going down with this financial mess that our country is in. We're not going to be victims. We're going to be victorious. I want to teach you. I want to show you how to get out of debt and how to retire with dignity. Let me ask you a question. If there was a field that you and I had to cross, we have to cross this field to win the financial game, to be able to be debt-free, to be able to retire. And this field is like our financial lives are right now. The field has mines all over it. Crooked banks, credit cards, front-end loaded mortgages. You name it, and this field is loaded with things that will destroy our financial lives. Now, you have two choices. You can listen to me, you can follow my footsteps, or you can stay on the wrong side of the field and never make your financial dreams come true. And don't forget this statement that we've all heard 1,000 times. If you keep doing what you're doing, you will keep getting what you're getting, right? Now remember, I had a wife with 3 children and a mortgage by the time I was 19 years old. I have been in the financial services industry for 25 years, and I developed the Equity Creator System 15 years ago, and I have gotten thousands of people out of debt. I'm going across this field. I know where each and every mine is. I will zigzag through all the devil has to throw at me, and I will make it to the other side victorious. What are you going to do? Are you going to follow my footsteps? Put your foot where mine is gone, all the way to being financially free, or are you going to go it alone? Are you going to take off through the field and wind up having to stay in financial bondage for the rest of your lives? I'll ask you the question one more time. How many people do you know who are totally debt-free? And how old are you right now? If you have not accomplished financial freedom as of this date, what makes you think this time is different? Every great football player attributes his success to a coach or coaches throughout their careers. Why would you not want the tools and assistance to finally do what most people will never do, and that is to become debt-free? Let me help you. Call and ask me questions. Send me emails. The definition of insanity is to keep doing the same things over and over and expecting different results. Call-in number is, once again, 1-800-732-6458. Again, the call-in number is 1-800-732-6458. Or you can call a WGAA radio station at 770-748-1340. 770-748-1340.
Thank you, Steve. That was a great opening for this show today. Andrew Carter here with you on AM 1340 WGAA, the flagship for the Financial Framework Show, and good afternoon to you.
How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing pretty good. What a time it is for financial news everywhere. I mean, it's just every week we come on the show, they're always talking about something else. Bad news in the economy and everything, and it's always something else. And the Fed has really been in the news here lately about keeping the interest rates low. Now, interest rates being low are good. If you're able to keep up a mortgage, it's okay. But getting a mortgage puts you into debt.
That's right.
And being in debt, you know, you're at the mercy of whoever you're in debt to.
Well, there's no doubt about that.
Absolutely. But we'll talk more about that. I believe we have a phone call. So let's go to our phone lines now. And good afternoon. You're on the Financial Framework Show with Steve Barfield.
Yes, this is Donald. I've got a question. It really concerns my mom and my sister. My mom is financially set pretty well, but and her and my dad worked a long time to make up the money that they have. And they're wanting to leave, you know, my sister and myself, an endowment for us and our kids. And I was wondering if there's some kind of vehicle that we could put her money in that the government won't tax us on so hard that we won't reap the benefit of what they save for.
Well, Donald, thanks for calling in today. There's actually a couple of options that I would look at if I were you and the family. The first one would probably be looking at a trust. A trust is set up so that someone would be designated as the executor of the trust, and then all the monies and the assets would then be put into the trust. And when your parents do go home, then what happens then is the trust just simply transfers then to the heirs. It just kind of stays in the family, and the executor sort of runs the deal. Not going to do a whole class on it on the radio, but if you need some help with that, let me know. But now, there are individual products out there that that I use. In fact, I use them a lot nowadays because of the way the economy is. But I like the index products, the index annuity products, because if your mother has, if they have a lot of money, and if they are wanting to bypass taxes and those type things, of course there's legal ways to do that. And of course, the index products will help you. What would happen is if your mom was to put the money into an indexed annuity, and then something does happen to her, then the money actually goes to the beneficiaries tax free. It bypasses probate, gross tax deferred. There's a lot of good in those products. So, you know, that's definitely what I would also look at. But I would probably also, like I said, look at trust, because the trust is just a great vehicle. The upper class have used trust for years and years. And once again, if you need any help with that, just let us know at Financial Framework, and you can go to the website, and the contact information is there, or you can contact the radio station, and,
okay.
And they'll give you the information.
Well, I think we're going to have some help.
Because
to do this.
If it's a large estate, you definitely want to do something smart with it, because if not, the government will wind up taking a large portion of it. And if you do use your head, then the estate can pass to the beneficiaries,
right.
and bypass a lot of the taxes and probate.
Okay, and then once we do that, can I do it where I can pass it to my kids?
Oh yeah, if you do a trust, It would just continue to roll on through the family for generations and generations.
Okay.
And you know, that's just and they're not very expensive. You can probably do a trust somewhere. A simple trust would be probably in the neighborhood of $1,500-$1,600, up to maybe $5,000 or $6,000 for a more complicated trust. But that's definitely what I would look at. But then again, for the individual products, I would look at an indexed annuity.
Okay. Does that draw interest?
They work different ways. An indexed annuity, they mirror an index. And when I build one, I normally use the S&P 500. And what happens is they will look at what the S&P 500 does, and they will give you a large portion of that profit. So you're probably going to average 6%, 7%, 8%, you know, in regular times in those products. And then they also have a fixed account where you're going to get somewhere around 3% and 3.25% at all times. Once again, not to do a training class on it, but they're great products.
Mm-hmm.
And get with somebody that you can trust to help you with that. And like I said, if you don't have anybody, then call us.
Okay. Well, I appreciate what you're doing on the air. It's good to have someone to call to and get some advice that's free.
Well, I'm going to shoot straight with you too, buddy.
Okay. I appreciate your call.
Thank you. Thank you, Donald.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Good afternoon. You're on the Financial Framework Show with Steve Barfield.
Hi, this is Marissa.
Hey, Marissa.
Hey. Got a question for difference in having your retirement in the stock market, spread out in the stock market, and annuities, and which is the best annuity for someone that's like 53 years old?
Well, that's a good question. We seem to get a lot of stock market questions nowadays, I guess, because everybody's afraid.
I'm scared.
Well, the way the market is now, it doesn't add up to me. 80% of the money right now that's being put into the stock market is being controlled by the financial institutions themselves. Last week, when the president had actually made announcements that they were going to put some rules and some penalties in there on the banks, if you'll notice, the market went down and pretty much stayed down all week.
Uh-huh.
Our unemployment is extremely high. Foreclosures, bankruptcies, the stock market, the numbers just don't add up. So I'm very untrusting of it right now, and I don't know when in the future I'll be back on its side. But to answer your question as far as annuities, the reason that I talk about annuities a lot on the radio is because I feel like it's sort of the last mattress. I feel like it's sort of the last place that we can put money where it can grow tax deferred. You have the security of the insurance company backing it. The states all regulate the insurance industry. And I'm very strong on those right now. An indexed annuity, they have a floor, meaning that you can't lose. So no matter what your money's in, you cannot lose. And like one of the primary products that we use is through a company called American Equity. And they, for every $100 you put into their account, they have $109 on reserve. Right now, from what I understand, the FDIC, for every $100 you put in, they have about $1.35. So I just feel a whole lot better about putting my clients' money somewhere where there's ample reserve, there are state regulators that are watching it, and it's not just the federal government watching it.
Well, so is it insured?
Well, it's actually the insurance companies, they operate under what's called the legal reserve system. And a lot of people don't know this, but even the insurance, as far as life insurance that you buy from an insurance company, is pretty much protected by the legal reserve company. And what that means, it means that, let's say, and I'm just going to make up a name. Let's say that you had an insurance or an annuity product with Wally World Life, and they were to get in trouble and become insolvent.
Mm-hmm.
Then what would happen, the other insurance companies would simply come in and pick up those contracts, and it may be, you know, 10 or 15 different insurance companies that take over Wally World's clients. You might have a different insurance company name on your statement now, but it'd still be the same grandfathered contract that you bought through Wally World Life. Does that make sense?
Right. Okay.
And it's a real good protective system. Like I said, I just feel like it's a last mattress.
So it's kind of like the banks are protected by the FDIC, and the annuities that you're talking about is protected by whatever you
the legal reserve system.
Okay,
right.
So it's just a different type.
Well, to me, a legal reserve system is real. Like I said, it's regulated by all the states individually, and it's not the federal government. And, you know, the FDIC right now is struggling even to survive.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to...
That's scary.
Yeah, and the FDIC, they're actually going to start billing banks in the year 2010 and 2011 ahead of time because they're expecting more and more losses and they're trying to stay afloat. So I'm real cautious.
So I'm 53, and what kind of annuity would you...
Well, I like the indexed, Marissa. I like the indexed annuities, like I said, because if you put your money in a traditional, the old annuities, they're okay, but the interest rates you're going to earn on those annuities, they're basically the board of directors who's going to dictate it. The index products, they will mirror an index, and they will give you a large percentage of the profit. If there is no profit, if the market is down in the minus range, then the worst you can do is zero. And a lot of people think, well, you know, I want to earn some money on my money. Well, I understand that. So they also have fixed accounts in those index products. Like I said, we'll do somewhere between 3 and 3.25, and the money grows tax deferred also.
Okay, so as far as term, length of time that an annuity...
Well, they will have surrender penalties, surrender charges, just like, you know, you do if you put your money into an IRA and those type things. the insurance companies, they do that to protect the client from just reaching in and taking the money like it's an emergency fund, just give and take. Mm-hmm. They also do that so that they can ensure that they've got the money for long range so that they can actually make the profit they need to make on the money. So
there's a catastrophe or something, like if I were to get cancer or
you can pretty much, whatever surrender penalties are in the contracts, you know, they pretty much waive those. And they also have,
okay.
And they also have a 10% free withdrawal so that you can actually take 10% of the money out each year without any penalties.
Oh, okay, after you turn retirement age.
No, it doesn't matter how old. You can actually pull the money out at 10%. Now, if it's a qualified account like an IRA or 401k rollover, you still have the government 10% penalty, but the insurance surrender penalty would not be there.
Okay, I see what you're saying. I'd still be taxed or whatever. I would be taxed, but I'd also be... I'd have a penalty for surrendering or drawing out whatever, just as if I did drawn it out of my SEP account with the stock market.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. But if I wait till whatever the age is, 62, and I could start drawing out 10% each year?
Well, that's actually 59. And you can actually draw out 10% no matter how old you are. And past 59, you don't have the government's 10% tax penalty.
But I can draw 10% every year starting, say, 59, because I don't want to pay any penalty.
Okay, I see. 59 is when you want to start.
And I wouldn't get a penalty.
You wouldn't get a penalty.
Okay. Can I have one more question?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I'm subcontracting for a doctor's office.
Yes, ma'am.
And if I'm getting paid by the hour, but I'm not an employee. I'm subcontracting. I know at one time that was probably illegal. But how bad is that as far as tax-wise? You know, because I know I'm going to have to pay my own taxes and Social Security and unemployment taxes and everything. So if I was an employee of them, they would have to be pay their share of my Social Security and all.
So you're 1099, you're not actually an employee of the company.
Yes, sir.
And what type of company is it?
Oh, well, it's a doctor's office.
Okay, doctor's office.
Uh-huh. But I'm really would be the only employee, so that way I know how they're protecting themselves, because they're probably their own employee, and if they were offering a retirement, they'd have to offer it to me. So they just want to pay me 1099.
Well, what I would do, Marissa, is I would make sure, and it sounds like that you're concerned about this, and I would make sure that I was using Quicken or some sort of software that would actually tell you how much you owe Social Security, how much you owe in taxes, and if you have the discipline, you know, to pay it yourself, I would probably do that. I wouldn't want to overpay it, but I would probably want to do that, or... I would make sure that I kept a certain percentage of this money, you know, 20, 25, 30% probably, in a savings account. And so that when you file your taxes and this money is going to hit your tax return, that you would have the money available. So I would do one of those two things, because see, that's one thing that happens in a 1099 world, and you've got financial services people, you have all sorts of different people on 1099 incomes, and if they come from a world where they had taxes and Social Securities and those type of things paid out, taken out of their checks, and then they get a 1099 check, they don't pay taxes.
Right.
And before you know it, they wind up with a huge tax bill, and it's not very much fun to have the IRS after you.
Okay, so to be safe, 30% of my tax?
Probably, you know, around 30%. If you have a good CPA, you know, they should be able to get as many deductions and write-offs for you as possible. So 30% should be about right.
Okay. All right. And do you have counseling, like financial counseling or something?
Well, we have the seminar, for one thing, that is... available in churches all over the area. So if you'll hang on the line after we get finished here, I'll find out where you're at.
But
as far as counseling, you can call our offices and we'll help you anytime.
But you have something like in church, like classes?
Yes,
that
ma'am.
You can learn about?
Oh, yes, ma'am.
Okay. And is it just in Atlanta or?
No, we're actually all over the Southeast pretty much right now.
Okay.
And as long as you're not calling the other side of the Mississippi, and we'll be there as soon as we can get there.
Okay. So, all right. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
If I hold on, then someone will tell me when the next one is close to where I'm at.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
All right. During the weeks that we've started taking calls, we're getting a lot of calls from around the country, people listening to us on the internet, and we'll have several calls that are coming in from local areas.
Right.
But I want the people from Cedartown and Rockmart and Rome and in Piedmont and the other places.
And that are listening to us on the air, over the airways.
Yeah, I want them to call and ask questions and become involved in this thing. We had a caller a couple of weeks ago. I think his name was John.
Yeah.
And I think he was local here, and he was talking about that he'd gotten disabled and stuff, and he had a question about what he wanted to do with a mortgage. And I hope you're listening today, and I'm sorry if I got the name wrong, but I would really like to know how you're doing and what decision you decided to make on that. You've been on my mind a lot since you called. Let me read a testimonial that came in from the from one of the clients that's been with the Equity Creator System for a while. This is a lady named Vonnie, and she's in Peoria, Illinois. And she writes, "Thank you, Equity Creator. We do appreciate all you came to our rescue with such great ideas, Equity Creator. Tony says hello, and thank you for sticking with us and supporting us with all your help and assistance. We would never have made it as far without Equity Creator. Equity Creator and your staff has been part of our family for years. Through all the difficult times with Tony and his brain tumor, plus the operations, I was able to stay focused and work. Knowing my bills were being paid, all I did was drop the money in the bank, and you made it possible for us to survive and feel like normal people. The stress of the daily terminal illness that Tony has was easier knowing that I had you all caring for our finances. That was a heavy load to carry, and we was able to sleep at night in peace. Not talking about our FICO score stayed high. It was no effort of our own. It was God that brought you all in our lives, and you all was our natural lifeline. Well, Vonnie, I appreciate the email. I do want you to call in one day and sort of tell us about your feelings that you've put here, and I'd like to know how Tony's doing, and that was just a real sweet, heartfelt testimonial there. Let me get to some of these emails. We actually have more emails come in that we're able to answer on the air, so let's take a time to do this. We've got Jamie from Cedartown, Georgia. We have struggled with money problems for so long that our marriage is on the rocks. Our children are terribly upset and don't know what to do. Can you please help us? Well, this is one, Jamie, I wish that you would have called in, because I would like to have known more about the circumstances. One thing that every listener should pay attention to is when you're having money issues, it's very important that you not let the children be involved in that worry. If you're fighting, if you're arguing, you should make sure that you do this while the kids are out playing or while they're asleep. But don't bring your kids into this mess, because there's nothing that they can do except for worry, and which will eventually affect their grades and everything else. Now, you make the comment here that you're struggling with money and that your marriage is on the rocks. Well, that's exactly what the devil wants to have happen. He wants to infiltrate your home. He wants to cause controversy. He wants things to get you upset. He wants y'all to start looking for greener pastures on the other side. I mean, there's a lot of things that he's trying to do here to destroy your marriage. And I want you to think about this. If you do let money destroy your marriage, I mean, you've let, once again, you'll hear me say this often, you're letting this, you're going to wind up putting a permanent solution to what is just a temporary problem, because money problems, they can be fixed easily. They can be fixed with some discipline and some hard work. And you should really and truly pray hard and talk to your pastor about this, because don't let this destroy your marriage, because your children is the ones that will actually wind up paying for this divorce if you wind up getting this. It will not be the government. It will not be anybody on the outside world. Your children will pay for this more than anybody. So, Jamie, I really and truly want you to work on this. Now, to help you with the problem, you need a plan. And you're in Cedartown, and we are going to have one of the local churches, Jason Slaughter's church, in the Cedartown area starting over the next month. So, you know, get a plan, get a system in place, and call our office and talk to somebody about this, because once again, if we can do anything to help you not file for a divorce, that would be great, because once again, your children are going to be the ones that actually pay the price for this.
You know, we're talking about how money can destroy a relationship, and that happens so much in this day and time. You know, finances, money problems, debt are just wrecking marriages.
It's the number one cause of divorce.
I know, and it's so sad. I mean, because letting something of this world like that break up a marriage is just, and it's so sad to see that happening. And you know, the divorce rate is just skyrocketing every year. I'm glad you talked about going to see your pastor, because that's something that not only do you want to get advice from a financial advisor, but you also want to get spiritual advice.
Well, you definitely need spiritual advice.
Exactly. You need to have prayer with the problem. You need to take it to God in prayer. Not only do you need to fix the money, but you got to fix the marriage too.
Well, but money, you know, is just the excuse, and it needs to be addressed.
Sure. Let's go to another email.
Okay, another email. All right, we've got Randy from Jacksonville, Florida. I've been told that maybe I ought to consider selling my home to get out of debt. Do you know how this process works? Well, it's so strange that we've even had this talked about on the air. We've had an email already about this, so I don't know where people are hearing this idea, but selling a house to get out of debt is absolutely ridiculous. A house, it should be protected. You should do everything in the world you can do to make sure that you keep this house. Credit cards are what's known as unsecured debts. They will pester you. They will bother you if you're not able to pay them on time. But you should never, ever, ever sell your house to get out of debt. Getting out of debt is really, with a system, is not that hard, because in our equity creator system that Vonnie had sent a testimonial in about, when you go into the system and you actually run a plan, which is known as a blueprint, the blueprint itself comes with a customized debt pay down schedule. And we can take the same amount of money on a monthly basis and actually have this family get out of debt in on average of about 8 to 12 years. So if I can have you out of debt in 8 to 12 years, including your mortgage, spending the same amount of money, then why in the world would you ever consider selling your house to get out of debt? And let me go ahead and hit on this a little bit more before we take this phone call.
Okay.
If you wind up selling your house to get out of debt, I want you to think about this, Randy. Where in the world are you supposed to live?
Exactly. That was exactly what I was about to say. I mean, you've got to live somewhere.
I mean, and are you going to pay somebody else's mortgage? Or are you going to move home? And I don't know, Randy, if you're married or not, but if you're married, a girl, okay, they're wired different than guys are. I mean, they love security. It's just part of the way they are. And I don't know what kind of relationship you have right now with your wife because of having these problems, but if your marriage is strained now, and if you wind up selling her nest, if you wind up selling her home, then what you're going to do is you're going to put really and truly maybe a stake in this thing. I mean, you're going to pretty much end it. And so I would make sure that I just got a system. Go to our website. Look at all the information there. Do a blueprint. Find a church. I know you're in Jacksonville. We have seminars in Jacksonville. We have the Builders of the Faith Worship Center. We have several churches in Jacksonville doing the seminar. So find a seminar, but just don't sell your house to get out of debt. And I hope this helps. And if it don't, give me a call, okay?
Yeah, never. I mean, that's something you got to have. You got to have a place to live.
That's exactly right.
Let's go to our phone lines. We have a call coming in. So, good afternoon. You're on the Financial Framework Show with Steve Barfield.
Good afternoon. This is Tom, and I'm calling to ask Mr. Barfield what sort of lessons he has in the church seminar.
Well, as far as the Tom, first off, thanks for the call. The seminar system is set to give you pretty much all the information you will need to make it in life financially. You'll hear me say, and you have heard me say many times, that we're taught how to dissect frogs in high school instead of about how to set up a family budget and all that. So in the seminar system, we go through all the basics. We talk about debt, we talk about credit cards, mortgages, and we really and truly explain how they're after your money. We go then into the equity creator budgeting system, which is a two checking account system. We then go into the third class. We talk about the blueprint, the financial plan that actually comes with the system itself. And that is it comes with the date you'll be debt free. I mean, it's just such a powerful tool. The next class, we go into life insurance, because that is such a very important part of a financial plan. The next class, we go into how money works and emergency funds. I don't know if you've ever heard of the Rule of 72 or not, but
The rule of 72 means that whatever you're earning on interest rate, you divide it into 72, and that tells you exactly how often it takes for your money to double. We go through all kind of different lessons about money, once again, emergency funds. And then the sixth class, we go into estate planning and retirement. And we show distinctively how it is important that you don't carry debt into retirement with you. The seventh class is leaving a legacy and giving. And we really talk a lot about giving and about leaving a legacy for our family. I mean, it's so very important, and it's God's wishes. And then the last class we go into is about children and finances, because it's really important for you to learn some lessons to teach your kids. And we also talk about the children's classes that the Financial Framework System is coming out with soon. So I think it would be well worth your time if you could find a church.
It sounds like that's a lot of good information.
Well, it's great information, and it is, you know, since it comes with a plan, since it comes with a system with an out-of-debt date and a debt pay-down schedule and all the tools it comes with, the system is not just all education. It wraps around that plan, and that is one of the things that really differentiates us from the church seminar systems that are in the marketplace.
Interesting. Okay, great. And where can I find what churches are in my area?
Where are you located, Tom?
I'm over in Rockmart.
Oh, you're in Rockmart. Okay. Well, we have Rolling Hills Baptist Church.
Uh-huh.
Rolling Hills Baptist Church.
And that's in Cedartown. When you come into Cedartown on Highway 278, you just keep on going straight like you're going down East Avenue, and it's right over there. Rolling Hills Baptist Church, right across from Cedar Valley Communications.
Yeah.
That's in Cedartown, close to Rockmart.
And they're going to start the class, I think, next month or first part of March.
Interesting. Okay, that sounds great.
All right, and if you need any more information on that, you know, go to our website or just call the station here.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Okay, thanks, Tom.
And we're back to the Financial Framework Show here on AM 1340 WGAA. 800-732-6458 is our number. Locally, 770-748-1340. And, Steve, I believe you have another email for us.
Yeah, let me go ahead and hit this one. We don't have just a couple minutes, but I feel like I need to try to answer all I can online. Tyler from Orlando, Florida. He says, Steve, I was laid off from my job back before Christmas, and I'm struggling to stay afloat. My wife has income coming in, and I'm looking every day for another job. We're able to pay most of the bills, but not all of them. What options do I have, or should we file bankruptcy? Well, Tyler, thanks for the email.
The bankruptcy question.
Yeah, well, you definitely shouldn't file bankruptcy, and just make sure that you keep your mortgage payment paid first. Whenever somebody is in trouble or whenever somebody's running short, always pay your mortgage payment first, no matter what. That is your nest. Once again, it goes back to the previous email where somebody wanted to know about selling their house to pay off debt. You definitely don't ever want to do that. You want to pay the mortgage first, then you want to pay your car payments because you have to have a way to and from work, and you want to pay your utilities, and then whatever's left over, then you can put it to the credit card companies. And the credit card companies, you definitely want to communicate with them if that's the ones that are actually not being paid on time. Communicate with them and send them just a little bit each month, whether it's $10, $15 a month. Just send something to them and let them know that as soon as you get another job that you will get back on track and you'll get caught back up. But make sure, Tyler, that you make that mortgage payment, okay? And hope this helps. And if you have any more questions, go to our website or call the station.
Let's see if we can squeeze one more quick call in. Good afternoon. You're on the Financial Framework Show with Steve Barfield.
Hey, Steve, this is Eleanor.
Yes, ma'am.
I just want to ask you if you've got some money in the bank right now, it's not a whole lot, and just say $4,000 or $5,000, and you owe $20,000 on a credit card, would you keep that money?
Well, if the $4,000 or $5,000, Eleanor, is all you have, I would not. I would keep the money. I would not send it to the credit card companies because you need a buffer. You need an emergency fund, and you know, just work out sending the credit card company as much as you can send them, but keep that little savings account there, the little nest egg.
Okay. Is there any way? I mean, I'm at work, so I haven't really been able to listen a whole lot. But do you know if you have that little bit of money in a bank, is that the best place?
Yes, ma'am. Probably in a money market. Actually, I would prefer a credit union, but a bank will be fine, a money market account or something like that. And I will probably not put it into a CD because of the, you know, the penalty in case you did need the money. But I would hang on to the money and not send it to the credit card.
Okay. And I mean, like, even if I had it in the savings account, it's not even earning 0.5%, I don't think.
No, but that's not for long term anyway. It's pretty much just in case you need the money. And if you're out of work, or, you know, if you were to get hurt or whatever, that's really and truly what that money should be for. So make sure you hang on to that and just pay the credit cards as much as you can send them, but hang on to your money.
Okay. And should my credit cards be, I've only got one, should that be about the last on my list?
Well, it should be probably, and I would also call the credit card company and talk to them and see if they'll lower your payments interest rates. Do whatever you can do to actually save some money on that, if at all possible, and keep calling them back until you find somebody that will actually help you with that.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Eleanor.
All right. Well, we're going to take our final break and return with the conclusion of today's show in just a moment. Keep it right here.
Well, we had some great questions today, and I hope that I was able to help you with important information that will have a definite impact on your lives and will put you in a position to win in life. I can't save America from debt by myself. I need everyone who will participate with me to help me with this most important quest. Encourage your friends and relatives to listen to the show and be a part of Saving America One Family at a Time. Now, in the past, I've given you information about the churches around the country that are running the Financial Framework Seminar. Due to the amount of time that it takes, and as more and more churches sign on to host the seminar, we have put the information on the website. You can find it at the bottom of the main page under the church registration tab. Find a church in your area and attend a Financial Framework preview meeting. A preview meeting will last about 30 minutes, and you will be shown how the Financial Framework Seminar is similar to the other seminars being offered, and then how the Financial Framework Seminar is different. Remember, the Financial Framework Seminar comes with a real plan and the tools that it takes to make your quest become debt-free much, much easier. You can also go to the Financial Framework Seminar website and learn more about the seminar. The web address is www.financialframeworkseminar.com. That is www.financialframeworkseminar.com. And if you can't find a church in your area, maybe you can get us in touch with someone at your church. We can contact them and see if they would consider putting on the Financial Framework Seminar, which to a point is similar to the other financial seminars that are taught in churches around the country. But the Financial Framework Seminar comes with a personalized plan that tells you the exact month and year that you can be debt-free. The average family becomes debt-free in as little as 8 to 12 years, and this is accomplished while spending their same current monthly payments. You don't have to sell your stuff. You don't have to suffer any more than you're already suffering while you're in debt, because being in debt is tough enough. Being in debt is hard, and it's hard to get out of debt. But the Financial Framework Seminar and its incredible tools makes it much easier than trying to figure it out on your own. No one is as serious as we are about saving the country from the bondage of debt, and I think you will see this once you have attended the seminar. And let me give a message directly to the pastors and deacons that are listening today. I know that nationwide tithing is down between 20 and 30%. I also know that it is not a heart thing. Your congregations, they want to give, and they want to give as much as they can give. What it is, it's a budget and debt issue. And unless you address the problem, unless you hit it on the head, next year is going to be even worse. Your congregations need a plan. They need to have their financial ducks in a row. Once this happens, your churches will be overwhelmed with giving from its members. Give us a call or go to the website, because if you do nothing, a lot of people will pay the price. As you will hear me often say, even the smallest mistakes that you make today will be magnified many times over in the future. Get in touch with us and let's fix this problem. Don't forget to pray for the people in Haiti as they're going through these incredibly tough times. My heart goes out to them. I cannot hardly fathom what they're going through. And remember, if you want to send money for the relief efforts, make sure that you send it to an organization that will use the money for what you intend for it to be used for. I would consider the Red Cross if you don't know any other trustworthy source to send your money to. And as always, please pray for our brave soldiers around the world that are sacrificing for our freedom and way of life. And don't forget about their families who are also giving us a piece of their lives each and every day to make us safe and secure. Our soldiers are modern-day heroes and should be treated that way. Please keep them in your prayers. If you missed any of the show today, you can go to the website at www.com. www.financialframeworkshow.com. That's www.financialframeworkshow.com. Look in the top right-hand corner for the login button, and in there you will see the WGAA radio section. Each week's broadcast is archived there for you to go back and listen to whenever you have time. Don't forget, next week you can catch the Financial Framework Show on Wednesday at 3:05 p.m. Get your questions ready and let's talk them over. Next week will be a good show, and I'm looking forward to talking to all of you. Until next Wednesday, be safe in your travels and may God bless you.